Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving,
keep training, headstrong. Be patient,
meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
I don't think they're ready for me. I don't think they're ready for me. I don't think they're ready for me. I ever fight. Push me, wait, knock them out. Push me, wait, never die. Push me, wait, fight it out. I ain't gonna stop, I ain't gonna stop. No, survive shots, see the kid.
Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show with Ordinary Woman, Charlie Alejandro, and Mountain Man, known as Chris.
Hey, guys. What is going on?
It's been a long time. What's going on here?
We are back. We are back. We're better than ever. As you guys noticed, we've been off the air for a couple of weeks. Last week was pretty particularly funny since we had no power. For those of you in the East Coast, we got hit with some severe storms in the area, and we actually had a power outage in the area. As a matter of fact, I even heard rumors that there's still some people that still do not have power. Luckily, we were only out for like a day and a half, kind of came and went. So that's why we were able not to have a show last week, because we were basically sitting in the dark, kind of like Steve Blinken back in the day.
You were?
Yeah, it was kind of like a nice way to come celebrate President's Week. We had the holiday last week, a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, we were out with the power out. The power went out. We had, which is kind of funny because we didn't have a lot of snow. We just kind of had that nasty rain, but I guess I heard it was because of the wind kind of took the power out, and then they had to take it back out the following day to continue to do some work on it. So we
wow.
had no power. So it's nice to be back, and for our listeners, just to let them know, we're going to make sure we spread the word. And you call in now when you call us at the 1-347-989-1473. That is actually a toll-free number now. So when you call us from whatever part of the country you happen to be calling from, that is not a toll call anymore. You do not have to pay. So for those of you that might not have unlimited minutes on your cell phone or that might have been a concern, guess what? You can actually call us for free now. So the number is 1-347-989-1473. If I'm not mistaken, it's the same number we had before, except that now it's actually a toll-free number. So when you call in, you will not be charged for your minutes. So that sounds
wow.
exciting. We want people to not be so shy anymore. This is one of the services we are trying. Blog Talk Radio recently started that because a lot of us hosts kind of requesting that. That was very important to us to be able to have our listeners to be able to call in and not be too shy about maybe having to be pay extra for their minutes just to be able to come along and talk to us. So you have no excuse now. It's all for free. You can call us and talk all you want.
Wow,
I
that
have
is
to tell
awesome.
You. Yes, it is. I'm very excited. We have a lot to catch up on. For those of you that checked our bio page, we actually have the amazing Dan Paquette. He's going to be on the show in a little bit. He's probably going to call us around 7:20-ish. He wants to give us a few minutes just to get caught up and to see what's going on. But you guys are going to get a chuckle about how we met. So I'm going to leave that for when he comes on. I'm going to share that with the listeners. It was a very interesting story, very funny. And it definitely taught me a couple of lessons that I kind of already knew, but just kind of reminding me about it. So keeping that in thought. Make sure you guys stick around for Dan Paquette. He'll be calling us. Amazing young man. Has a bright future ahead of him. Has
wow,
a lot of catching up to
awesome.
Do, it seems.
Exactly.
Let's
we
see.
Do.
We haven't even communicated because I've been running around crazy. I was actually quite sick for 2 weeks, not feeling to top form. I was actually sounding, it was kind of like a running joke. I sounded like Minnie Mouse on helium for a couple of weeks. Yes, I know. Everybody got a chuckle out of that. And when I say that, I'm not exaggerating. I kept getting like these squeaky noises coming out when I talked. Not funny. It was, as a matter of fact, so disturbing. Even the dog buddy. Dog of Mystery was looking at me funny, like, what is that thing coming out of her mouth? It sounds so weird.
Oh,
yeah, you're laughing, right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's coming back. You still hear the raspiness in it, but luckily it's getting there. So, yeah,
wow.
Been in and out of the doctor, got acquainted with a brand new doctor, trying to figure out what's going on with the old throat and the ears and the headaches and stuff. So we'll figure it out. We're real good at that.
Aren't we all good at figuring stuff out?
Yes, and I have so much to share. I just don't know even to start, but right off the bat, so I don't forget, for those of you that might like to go out to go to the movies, I have to mention this, and I'm not being paid for this. I wish I was, but I'm not. I went to see Shutter Island, which just recently came out, and for those of you that aren't familiar, Shutter Island was actually filmed in Massachusetts.
Really?
Yes, it was. It was filmed in Massachusetts, 2008, and it was filmed, it was actually directed by Martin Scorsese. Now, those of you that are familiar with the movies and the industry, the insides and outs, Martin Scorsese is one of the most meticulous directors around. I mean, his attention for detail, his work ethic, he's a tough director to work for, and I would consider that a good thing. Because when he wants something, he wants to make sure he gets it. He was so meticulous, as a matter of fact, that this film is one of the first films that he works with CGI, with the computer-generated imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't too happy with the way some scenes looked once the live action was combined with the CGI. They actually came back out here in 2009. And they were here for, I think, another 4 to 5 weeks doing some reshoots to make sure he got it right. And the movie finally came out this about a week and a half ago. I have got to tell you, people, it is worth the wait. Because this movie is phenomenal. I think Scorsese definitely outdid himself. And for me, it's an even bigger pride because it's kind of cool to actually see people you know in a movie. And I don't mean like, know, like, hey, there's, Leonardo DiCaprio. No, I mean people that you know. And one of the people that I have to absolutely mention, because he was just awesome in it. And it's funny because a lot of times people think that in order for you to be quote-unquote awesome in a movie, you have to have a speaking part. Well, this gentleman was actually in about 90% of the shots, I'd have to say, 70-80% of the shots. And he plays the part of an orderly. And I was so happy for him because this is actually one of the first roles that he gets credit for. So if you go and check him out on IMDb, which is the Internet Movie Database, he's actually in there, and his name is Daryl. And I was just so happy for him. And it's kind of cool because usually when I go see a movie, it's one of these where you're like, all right, quick, don't blink. You're going to miss him. No, this man is up front and center. You see him the whole time, and I was just very happy for him.
That is
I think
awesome.
More so because, like I said, I know what an amazing man he is, and long due. I think he's long due. So if anything else, you got to go see it because it's a great movie, but if nothing else, you got to make sure you keep an eye out for my main man in the background, Daryl Wooden. As a matter of fact, if you want to fan him, you can go to Facebook, Daryl Wooden, W-O-O-T-E-N. He plays the orderly, and you can look him up on IMDb and see how cute he is and what an amazing person he is. He actually came to acting later in life, so he's one. Actually, we're going to be having him as a guest later on in the show in the coming months because I think he's just an interesting person. Another person that I thought was interesting to see in the movie is Thomas Duffy. He actually is a retired major from the state police. He was a major on the state police. He retired. He now works as a law enforcement consultant. He actually has worked as a consultant on The Departed, Edge of Darkness, Shutter Island, and you actually get to see him in the background. It's kind of cool. He's got that mean cop thing because that's what he's doing. He's playing a cop in the background. He did a really great job, too. So definitely, if you are planning on going to the movies, you have to see this movie. I call it the Thinking Man's movie because some people are like, oh, my God, that movie's not that good. No, you can't talk through it. You can't be crunching the popcorn too loud because it's one of those that if you blink, you miss little clues that are given to you. And I'm not giving it away because it's just an awesome movie. Got to see it twice because it was so good.
Well, I've gotten to see a couple of good movies myself.
Mm-hmm. What did you see?
I've seen the Avatar.
Oh, my gosh. I have seen that three times. That just
which is an
awesome
movie. I could relate, you know, 100%.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what I like about that movie? Because my son is a film student, and we're like big buffs on trivia, so we're always like, we probably keep IMDb in business because we're constantly on it. My husband kind of thinks it's weird because we'll actually be watching a movie at home and we'll have the laptop on our lap while we're Googling the movie to learn about the background, like the actors that were in it. And you get to see people that aren't doing much of anything now and people that, oh my gosh, this guy was like, you know, a little bit player in this movie and now he's this big major actor. And the great thing that I learned about Avatar, which is two things actually. One was that concept came out of a dream that James Cameron's mom had when he was younger.
Mm.
She had a dream about this giant 12-foot woman and, you know, just a little bit of that. And he actually wrote the script. And a lot of people said that James Cameron kind of fell off the planet in 94 after he did Titanic, which was a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
The reality was that he already had the script written for Avatar. The thing was that he realized that the technology had not caught up yet, and he just didn't want to make a movie that didn't fit the vision that he had for it. And he actually did two things. He actually invented a new type of camera that actually filmed. It's like putting two cameras into one housing, so it gives you that dimensional effect, deeper than just the regular type of cameras that are used for 3D filming. The other thing he did, which I thought was absolutely genius, is because I've actually worked in a couple of films where they do use computer animated imagery, and the tough thing is to make it realistic because you have a director saying, okay, you need to run around like there's an animal chasing you. And you do, but you don't really know where they're actually going to put the quote-unquote animal in the movie, so sometimes it doesn't look as realistic. Well, one of the things he did is he created a monitor that the actor can see while they're filming the shots, so he can actually see where the imaginary image is going to be. So it makes it more realistic for eye contact, where you put your hands. So it's just that's why that movie is so rich and so creative.
Well, I mean,
absolutely loved it.
I think we saw it like three times.
I did too. I went to see it with the kids.
Three times. And I saw it in 3D.
Oh, you have to see it in 3D. I mean, I have not seen it in two dimension, and I know a lot of people think 3D is just cheesy because of the bells and whistles. No, this movie absolutely has to be seen in 3D just because it's so incredible. And I wound up seeing it all three times in 3D because I loved it.
Well, I've seen it
in what?
I seen it in 3D, but I also saw it in the regular format.
How did you like it in the regular format? Because I didn't get to see it.
I saw them in both formats, and I liked it both, all the times that I've seen it. I just, I had to watch it like two or three times in order to really catch what was going on, because the first couple times I was watching it, I'm like, stuff just flew by, like you say.
It really does. Let me hold you off real quick, Mountain Man, because I got a bunch of people up in here, and I am just so excited to see everybody. Welcome to the chat room. Let's see, who do we have here? Oh, man, I'm excited. We've got Mountain Man, myself, Betty. Hi, Betty. Billy324. Bill, I will get back to that question to you. I'll let you know. Eddie B. Hey, Eddie, what's up? Yes, 3081. Welcome, welcome. 3208, 3218, 3341. Welcome, welcome. JJ, nice to have you back. First time listener. Awesome that you're here. We've got Mary, we've got Melanie, Richard, 5671, and Robert. Welcome, welcome, once and all. We're actually talking about great movies because in a little while we're going to have the amazing Dan Paquette, who's an up-and-coming actor, and we're going to get to listen to him. But for those movie buffs, Sunday is Oscar night, which is a huge thing for me. I love the Oscars, and I actually plan on being there next year. I don't volunteer to be a cleaning lady, but I'm going to be there. I see myself there as more regal role, maybe, you know, accompanying somebody that got nominated or just actually have the opportunity to go as a SAG member. I don't know. some way we'll figure it out, but I'm going to be there in a cool dress and all that. So, yeah, we're talking about great movies that we've actually seen.
Wow.
Some of the trivia in honor of the fact that the Oscars are going to be this Sunday. And for those of you that don't know, the Oscars actually did something new. Every year they nominate 5 movies. This year they actually nominated 10. 10 movies are nominated. So if you actually go to the Oscar website, you can get a look at some of the trailers for the movies that are being nominated and get to know a little bit more about them. I have to absolutely say, if you have not seen The Hurt Locker, H-U-R-T, locker, like a locker room, guys, you are sleeping on an incredible, incredible movie. I was introduced to this movie a while back because my son, a film student, said, Mom, you got to watch this movie. And it was considered a sleeper. It was an independent movie. Didn't get that much exposure when it first came out because it didn't wind up going to the film festivals. And it actually is now nominated for Best Movie. The director, a female director, Catherine Bigelow, which is amazing because it's a war movie, but it's not your typical, you know, kind of gory kind of war movie. There's an actual message there of what can happen in certain people's lives. You've got to see it. It's just a great movie. Jeremy Renner, too, he actually is the lead in the movie. He got nominated, totally deserves to win, because I think just an incredible, incredible actor. So definitely that's my choice to win. Definitely my choice to win. I don't know if it will or not, but
wow.
That's the one I'm rooting for because I loved it. And again, IMDb. No, I'm not getting paid to do this. If you guys are always interested in the trivia and stuff that's going on behind the scenes, best web page to go on. It's free. Just put the name of the movie or an actor, and it's kind of cool. You get to see all the details about what movies they've been in, what they've done, when the movie originally came out. So, yeah, that's my plug for that movie. And, Matmian, you were saying about Avatar that you felt you actually had to see it a couple of times because there's just so much stuff there.
Yeah, Avatar is one of the best movies I have seen, and with all the animations and everything, with all the new computer animations, it's just a phenomenal movie. I would have to recommend it to a lot of people while it's still in theater. While it still can be seen in theaters, I don't know if it's still in a lot of theaters, but I've seen it at Chunky.
It actually still is. Yeah, it actually still is in the movie theaters, and you're absolutely right. It has to be experienced in the widescreen. Although I did hear that they're actually coming out, this is kind of cool because my son saw the movie Coraline in 3D that came out, I think, last year. And he actually bought the DVD because he liked it so much, and the 3D technology at home is with the old glasses, like back from the 50s, you know,
mm-hmm.
One side's red and one's blue. So it's not the same. It actually kind of looks weird. So we wind up just watching it in 2D. But they actually have the technology coming out, and I heard this should be out on the market, where you can actually see the movie in the true 3D, the real 3D that they call it. You actually get to see the movies with the gray glasses instead. So I heard that that's going to be coming out soon, so that's kind of cool. But the reality is a movie like Avatar has to be experienced on the wide screen.
Oh, it's got
to
be.
Phenomenal.
It has to be. And I know for me, I had a couple times where I've had distractions, so I've
mm-hmm.
missed bits and pieces. And that's why I've seen it like 3 times. And I'll tell you, seeing a movie in 3D now versus back then, what
oh,
is
yeah.
going on over there, girl? I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
Actually, that's not background noise. That's my headphones not cooperating. Ow. Ow. There we go. I think I have a big head because this thing hurts. It's to hold my brains in. Oh, hold on. Adjustment time. It's weird. It's like I literally, like, my son got me the coolest headphones for Christmas. It's so sweet. To use, but I really think I have such a big ear, like big nuggets, that it squeezes my head, and after a while, it's like, ow, it feels like my ears are falling asleep.
Which bums me out
because the quality is so awesome. Oh, there we go. So anyway.
Anyhow.
Back to Avatar.
Avatar is one of those movies you definitely have to see in the theaters, and I do recommend that you go and see it in the theaters. before it goes to DVD, VHS, whatever it goes to. But yep. I would definitely recommend it. And I also got to see another movie called Valentine's Day, which was,
How was that?
It was very good. I liked
it.
Marguerite liked it.
My thing, and this is something funny, because my daughter, I love my daughters, and they are such
Jessie is awesome.
I think of Valentine as a chick flick, which is weird, because I am a chick, but I don't, see, this is funny, you guys are going to think I'm weird. I can deal with chick flicks if I rent it, and I'm, like, at home, and it happens, but the thought of actually paying to go see a chick flick, it's like, do I really want to do that? It's not like my first choice, you know what I mean? That's the only reason I haven't seen it, because I'm not into, like, not that I don't like them, but if I had to pick between Sherlock Holmes and Valentine's Day, Sherlock Holmes would probably win out, which is another amazing movie. I just saw Jud Law. I loved him in that role, because
I'll have
I remember
to say
reading.
And I don't mean to cut, I'll let you finish before I...
No, that's okay. Go ahead, defend Valentine's Day.
Well, a lot of the actors and actresses and musicians were in it. And
oh, yeah, I know. It was like a huge lineup, and I don't know. I just couldn't
It goes by quick. It's a 2-hour and 5-minute movie. Which I think goes by very quickly, and if you don't pay attention, I think you'll get lost. But you can pick it right back up.
I do that a lot. Yeah, I do that a lot. You know what? It's too real quick. Now that you mentioned the actors, I have to mention this because the one thing that I loved about Avatar, Michelle Rodriguez absolutely killed her role. I was very upset that it wasn't longer. And it's funny because I actually wrote a script and there's a female character in it where it was funny. I remember one day talk about brainwaving and thinking positive thoughts. We actually sat there for like 45 minutes thinking of what actors I would want to play in my script. And we're going through all the A-list actors for this particular character. I know my husband's like, well, what about Jolie? No, I don't want Jolie. Well, what about this one? What about that one?
What
and
about me?
Yeah, what about you? Well, you're not a girl. It'd be kind of funny. But the thing is, the thing I like about Michelle Rodriguez, and I'm glad that she's finally getting the opportunity because they either always, I think she's always underused, seriously underused. I think she's one of Hollywood's most underrated actresses because she is good. I like her.
She was awesome.
Whatever her personal life might be, I like her. I mean, she can actually pull off the tough female role without coming across too much like a guy or too fake. Because I'm sorry, there's some actresses out there, I love them, but once you put them in a cop role or a military role, it doesn't work for me. I mean, case in point, Eva Longoria, she's great on Desperate Housewives, but there was a movie I watched during where she was an FBI agent, and I'm sorry, it just didn't work. I mean, she did a good job, but it's not realistic. She's just not... She doesn't have what you need to be able to carry off a role like that. It can work because obviously not all FBI agents are, you know, have to be that way. Another actress, which I think the only other actress that I can think of that I really think is realistic when they do action roles is Jennifer Gardner, hands down.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie is good with the action roles, but I'm sorry, all she does is pout her lips and that's about it. It's a little bit too much over the top. That's why she was great in Wanted. She was great in Lara Croft because those are over-the-top characters. You know, they're supposed to be super tough, super almost like a video game, which is where Lara Croft came from. So she does really great in those roles. But I think once you put her in a role where she's supposed to be a quote-unquote real cop or real soldier, it doesn't work for me because I don't think she can pull it off. I mean, great example was Demi Moore, an amazing actress, but she just couldn't pull off the Marine in A Few Good Men. She just couldn't pull off G.I. Jane. I'm sorry. She just, to me, it just didn't it made, I mean, she did a great job in it, but it just wasn't realistic. It kind of almost turned the character into a caricature. Whereas
yeah,
if you put
exactly.
someone, like A Few Good Men, if they ever decide to do a remake, Jennifer Garner definitely should be cast in Demi Moore's role because she will kill it. She will absolutely kill that role.
Mm-hmm.
By the same
yep.
token, if you put a Michelle Rodriguez or a Jennifer Garner in a remake of G.I. Jane, they will make it work.
Oh, yeah, because Michelle
they are believable.
Yeah, the not Gardner, but the other one there, she would
Michelle,
make an
Michelle
awesome. Lee. Yeah, she would make an awesome G.I. Jane.
I think
she,
so too. They're just amazing.
Exactly. Well,
the other thing that they're good with, because if you saw, just blanked out here, The Kingdom, where Jennifer Garner was sent, they were over there investigating the bombing. One of the things with her, and this is why I like her as an actress, it's very difficult as an actress to take an action scene where you're being really tough, and in this particular case, there's one scene where she's actually duking it out with guys. It's very difficult to make that realistic when you're a female.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that you're creating an illusion. I mean, she's good at
right.
what she does. She actually knows how to fight and that kind of stuff. She's
mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, her gun handling skills are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Very difficult to teach women because the way we're built have a certain way of carrying the weapons. And it's like I remember one time I was working as a consultant on this one particular film.
Mm-hmm.
I had this female. We spent 3 hours just to get her to stop cocking her head like a little cocker spaniel to look through the sights. And she couldn't understand why that was such a big deal. I said, all right, I will show you. We're in the woods. You're doing a scene. It's the middle of the night. Now, the exact same way you're standing, you're in a tactical position. You've got your head cocked. Now I need you to run to where the fire is. She tried
right.
it. Once your head's cocked, your balance is off, and you trip on everything. And now she understood what I meant. So to teach that, and to her credit, her name is actually Wendy Alston, amazing actress, love her. For her to pick up a tactical stance and to learn that particular gun handling skill, which is not
mm-hmm.
taught everywhere because it's a tactical thing,
yep.
she was able to learn it within 2 to 3 hours, which is very difficult to do. It's a testament to how good she is at what she does and that
mm-hmm.
she was able to pull it off. But that's one of the things that I like about Jennifer Garner. Hands down, I think she is the best action female actress that Hollywood has now. And I kind of am surprised where Angelina Jolie gets a lot of the meatier roles that she does, where I think Jennifer Garner could definitely do them a little bit better. And again, it's no disrespect to her talent. Angelina
right.
Jolie is an amazing actress. But when it comes to the realistic action roles, not the, you know, video game types or whatever, the fantasy
mm-hmm.
types, hands down, Jennifer Garner definitely can pull it off. And Michelle Rodriguez is another one that I think they just don't use her enough. So I was
right.
glad to see her in that role. And I'm hoping it'll leave for other stuff for her because I think she definitely could. I think she could carry a movie on her own, which they haven't done with her yet. They usually
right.
have her in a supporting cast or they have her in a movie where they don't really use her that much. I think
mm-hmm.
she can carry her own thing, and that's very important. The other thing with Jennifer Garner that I love is because she's such an amazing comedic actress too. She has
yep.
these nuances that makes the character more real. Like in The Kingdom, when she went from one minute, you know, she's blowing people up and killing them because she has to the next minute where she's handing a lollipop to a child. Little nuances makes it so real.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I really think she's such a great actress. And anyway, that's my spiel on those movies because, again, it's Oscar Sunday, and I'm really excited that that's going to be coming along. And let me go real quick to the chat room. Let's see, guys. What is going on in that chat room? You guys are all so quiet.
I
forgot to ask you. You're controlling the switchboard. What's going on there?
Yeah, we have somebody in there, and I was just waiting until you were done with your spiel to see who this
yes.
was.
Go ahead. Who is there?
Who?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Dan.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
How are you? I am so glad I finally got you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I have to tell the listeners, because I haven't shared this with you, I think it's pretty funny how Dan and I met.
It was really funny.
It was pretty funny.
It's a perfect example of a small world, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Epitome of small world. I have to say, Dan and I, what were we working on? Was it Night and Day?
Yeah, we were on Night and Day, yeah.
So, for everybody that knows, I like to talk. Very hard to believe. But actually, it's funny. A lot of people don't realize that I was very, very shy as a child, like wicked shy, even as a teenager and a young adult. The only reason I finally got over it somewhat was when I became a cop. You can't be shy as a cop. And even to this day, I get into that. But anyway, one of the things that I can pick out, like anything, is when someone's either new to a certain environment or they're a little bit shy, too. So there's Dan sitting at our table. Dan, do you remember, what were you doing before you came up to where we were?
I don't know. I think I was just sitting there waiting until they had all the food out, then just grabbed my food and just trying to find a spot to sit down. But you and me, mm-hmm. we just started up a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation led to us asking where we were from, and I found out that you were actually from the same city that I was in, and you actually lived in the same neighborhood as me.
Wow.
And I'm like, very small world for two people working on a film. And so I asked you, I said, you didn't have my brother as your paperboy deliverer, and turns out you did have him.
You know, it was so funny because I noticed Dan, I had noticed you earlier because I can usually tell when someone's pretty new on the set because it can be overwhelming, especially on a project that we did like Night and Day. To give you a little background to our listeners, we were actually doing an airport scene, and obviously we're not going to give a plot or anything away, but we're doing this airport scene, and there had to be at least between 300 and 500 extras altogether throughout the day because the whole day they rented out the Worcester Airport in Massachusetts, and they converted it to look like the airport in Wichita, Kansas, which I can attest they did a phenomenal job because I have actually been at the airport in Wichita, and they were able to convert it. So you have 300 people, 300 to 500 actors, and everybody there is an actor. You know, the people at the concession stands, the pilots, the police, the guys at the attendants, everybody are actors in this huge facility where they have us in holding.
Wow.
So I noticed Dan earlier in the day, and he's kind of looking around with this wide-eyed look like, oh, my God. It was kind of cool because was that the first time you've been on a big set?
That was actually my third time, actually.
Mm-hmm. Which other ones did you work on before that?
The first one I worked on was The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale. And then
scene did they use you in? For The Fighter, what scene were you in?
I'm going to be in the beginning part of the movie, and they're walking down the side of the street, and I have a role where I interact with them. I'm an Irish punk.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then what other movie did you work after that?
Then I worked on Adam Sandler's Grown Ups, which is coming out this summer, along
mm-hmm.
with 9 Day. And I was part of the 70s flashback scene.
Which is funny because, again, talk about a small world. You and I, we were both actually in the Grown Ups. So I was actually in the barbecue scene, so we didn't actually meet on the set of the Grown Ups.
Your son was in the water
were.
Park scene too, right?
Yes, he was. It was so funny. You can actually see we're actually in the barbecue scene and then the water park scene. But one of the things that's wicked funny about it, about when we talk about a small world with Dan, is that we were in Worcester, which is about almost an hour away from where we live. 500 people that are being used at different times during the filming of this movie. So we're not all at the airport at the same time. And they staggered the lunches. So think about the logistics of... All of a sudden, I'm sitting at this table with a few people that I know, and there's Dan all kind of shy, like, what am I going to sit? And then we're like, hey, there's a seat here. We start talking, and the odds that we come from the same city, live in the same neighborhood, and his brother's my paper man.
Wow.
You actually thought I was him because we look so alike, too. So that's how the conversation really started, too.
It did, because I kept staring at him going, is that the guy that delivers my paper? And I felt bad because I'm like, I can't believe I'm not sure if it's him or not. because I wasn't totally sure. And I one of the guys said to me, you're going to make him uncomfortable because you keep staring at him. I was like, I'm telling you, I think I know this kid. You didn't think you're a pervert. I was like, oh, stop. All right, now that's not cool. I'm not a pervert. I was just staring at you, and then the conversation started. Yeah, and it turned out that it was your brother.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was funny. We wind up actually talking about the movie. So, Dan, what made you decide to want to be an actor?
Well, they had the casting call in Louisville for The Fighter, mm-hmm. and I was deciding whether or not to go. You know, I was thinking, you know, there's no way I'm going to be able to be chosen and get in anything. And then mm-hmm. that Saturday morning, my sister called me and told me to make sure they get me there. She's the one that really made me go to the casting call.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, I stayed in line for a couple of hours. I went up and they grabbed your paperwork. For the majority of mm-hmm. the people there, they just grabbed the papers and told them, we'll contact you. But with me, they asked me if I was from Lowell, and I said, yeah. And they told me to sit to the side with another 10 people or so. And they brought us downstairs and they had us do a video interview, just basically
mm-hmm.
asking us questions to see how we were on camera. The thing is with me, with my video interviews, she asked me one question, and then coincidentally, Mickey Ward walked in right as I was doing my interview.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who was giving the interview, she got, like, starstruck. So
mm-hmm.
once Mickey left, she pretty much said, okay, thank you for coming, but she only asked me one question.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that went well. But
right.
Right. And then a week later, they called me again, and they wanted to set up another interview with me in Boston.
Really?
So I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. And so I went to Boston, and they pretty much had the same concept again where they interviewed me, except this time no, like, celebrities came in. There was this 9-year-old girl who sat next to me, and everyone fell in love with her in the room. And they
mm-hmm.
interviewed her. Then they
mm-hmm.
came to me, and she asked me a question. And it's as if she was, like, distracted by the little girl because she smiled and she gave me a look. She went back to the 9-year-old girl, and, well, they didn't know she was 9. They asked her, how old are you, sweetie?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't state anything about my questions. And then
right.
she just skipped right over me. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to get anything then.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out a month later, they gave me a call and told me I was going to be an Irish punk in the movie. And that's how everything started out.
You know, and it's funny because I remember talking to you, and that was one of the things you brought up, that you're like, well, you know, my look is not exactly what Hollywood's looking for. And I remember saying to you, not necessarily, because you can't have everybody look like some, you know, 7-foot something, you know, Adonis, because they look ridiculous, because no one looks like that for real.
Right.
And the reality is that I said to you, you have a sweetness and a charisma, and you have the type of face that, and that's funny because I'm looking at your mug right now on the blog.
Yeah.
For our listeners, real quick, before I continue my point, if you are interested in coming into our chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. Woman is spelled WMN. You can join all the amazing people we have in there. We have Betty and Bill and Eddie, guest 3081, 3208, 3218, 3341, 3406. Welcome. We have JJ, Leslie, Mary, Melanie, and Richard and Robert. They're all in there, so you guys can come on down. You won't be by yourself. Or if you want to call us, the number is 1-347-989-1473, and that is actually a toll-free number. It doesn't say 800 before, but it is a toll-free number, so you will not be charged for the call. If you have any questions for Dan, any comments, feel free to call us. And one of the things that, and that's why I'm saying about looking up on the page, because when you go on Blog Talk Radio and you go to the segment page, you get to see a little bio of Dan and his smiling picture right there. It's an amazing look. And that's one of the things that I said
picture.
To Dan. You have this sweetness about you that they can actually cast you as a high school student. You can, you know, play a cop, you can play an Irishman, you can play a lot of things. And one of the things that I see in Dan, and he probably doesn't see it yet, you would make an amazing bad guy.
Uh-huh.
People wouldn't expect it.
That's for sure. I could see that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like an evil,
you know,
smile with that photo.
Oh, no, I love that smile, but yeah, you've got that thing like, do not underestimate me because I will steal your daughter kind of thing. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. And it's funny because my husband was laughing when I was telling him the story about how we met. He's like, all right. He's like, all right, let me get this straight. You're in Worcester, and randomly out of 500 people, you start talking to the guy that is the brother of the man that delivers our paper, and he not only lives in Lowell, he lives in our neighborhood. I'm like, yeah, pretty much. And then he's like, okay, where was the camera? Because this only happens to you. Now, Dan, on that note, I have to tell you, mind you, I have not been in acting that long either. I think I'm going into my second year because it was one of these things that I always wanted to do when I was younger. Life got in the way. My husband finally said, listen, woman, I'm going to be married to you for the rest of my life. I don't want to hear you when you're 90 sitting on some porch going, I could have, would have, should have. I want to, what a hot. No, he's like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, there's always excuses to not do
there
something.
There is, isn't it? It is.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
No.
So for me, that was the thing. I didn't want to have regrets. So one of the things that I have to tell you, Dan, you told me that The Fighter was the first project you actually worked on.
Yes.
Okay. So listeners, stick with me here. This young man wasn't even sure if he was going to go to the audition because of the fact that you said, oh, they're probably not even going to pick me, right?
Yeah.
Right. I was actually at that casting call that they had in Lowell. There was 1,700 people that showed up for that.
Oh, the line was huge. I went there in the morning and it went all the way down the street.
And when we mean down the street, they held the auditions at a BFW post. So when we say street, we're not lying. This sucker went down the parking lot, which the parking lot probably holds about 100 and something cars. So we are all the way down the parking lot, around the dead-end street, another dead-end street, and out into the street. I mean, it was huge. And the casting call was going to start at 8 in the morning. There was already people in line by 7:30. I have a friend of mine that went later in the day, and she said the line was still up. As a matter of fact, I think they were going to stop the auditions at 4 or 5, and they actually had to keep going. And they actually cut the line off, like at whatever, I think it was at 5 o'clock that they were going to originally stop. They walked to the end of the line and say, you're the last person, and they literally turned people away because they would have been there. That's how many people were. So you have Dan shows up. Then, coincidentally, Nikki Ward just happens to walk in when you're auditioning with the group. So, on top of that, now, remember, these casting directors are looking at 1,700 people. Trust me, after a while, everybody starts looking the same. I don't care if you're tall, skinny, white, black, male. You guys all look alike because it's so many people you're seeing it. You actually got pulled aside for what they call another look. You know, like it's almost like a callback at the same time.
Wow.
That, and the other thing Dan didn't realize, which is funny when he was telling me the story before, is the fact that then he gets a callback, which is huge. It took me almost a year and a half before I got a callback to a movie, not an independent project, but like a regular movie. And then on top of that, Dan's like, oh, well, you know, they're paying attention to this cute little girl. They're not going to call me back. But you actually get a part, you know what I mean, where you're the Irish punk as opposed to that blur that walks across the back. So that's huge, Dan. And, I mean, that's got to give you an idea of the fact of your markability because that's big. That's really huge. I mean, a lot of the people that I've talked to that have mentored me in the industry, that doesn't happen. That's one of those, what they call those Cinderella moments, and you just had it, and that should definitely, and that's one of the reasons why I remember telling you, you definitely got to stay up in this industry. Now,
right. Definitely motivates me. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So now you got the call back. You told you're going to play the Irish punk. So how what happened after that?
They pretty much told me to wear dark punkish clothes. And then, you know, this was the day before, and I'm like rushing around because I don't have like all these punk clothes because I don't wear that stuff. I like my Red Sox shirts and everything. So
I love this guy.
I ran up to the mall. The mall was closing in an hour. I grabbed these like skater shoes, grabbed this hoodie, and I couldn't find any jeans, so I ended up wearing my brother's black jeans that were absolutely tight on me. And so I went the next day. I must say that it was like 90 degree weather out, and here I am in all black, tight black jeans and a hoodie on, sweating to death. I'm like, oh, this is good. This is great to tell for a story for the first time. But it was worth it.
Now, when
I spent the day with them.
Right, that's what I was going to ask you. So you got on the set, you arrive here, whatever time they call you. So what happened first thing when you got there? What time did they have you report to the set?
I was reported at 4 or 5 in the morning, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was there until like 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And the thing is, I was at the top of the hill. So that's when they first started turning around the corner. So I had to stand on the top of the hill the whole day without sitting down, because I had to be in the background as they were going down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent the entire day standing up in the background with only like 2 breaks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I see we do have a caller here, Charlie, and I don't know if you
hold on a sec on that. We'll pick that call up in a quick second. I want Dan to finish that. So, Dan, you were there for all that time, and welcome to the glamour. It's funny. You'll be like, oh, Hollywood's so glamorous. No, the after effects of it is cool, you know, with the parties and all that, but you were there the whole day. Now, your scene, you were actually interacting with who?
I interacted with both of them. I gave Christian Bale a high five, and they came back to steal a cigarette from my group.
Mm-hmm.
One of my thug buddies, you know.
Mhm.
Wow.
So I mean, I think I got pretty good like screen time there, because they freezed us there. I mean, they didn't walk right by us.
Right, they actually stop, and you know, and again, that's got to be an indication to you. That's really big. It's really big for you to go out there, your first project, and actually be able to do something like that, where you actually had the opportunity. I mean, a lot of times you actually work on these sets and you don't even see the main actors. You see the stand-ins, you see the photo doubles, but you don't actually get to work with the main actors.
And there I was, I aimed with Christian Bale all day.
Wow.
That's awesome. He was really cool.
He was funny and, you know, nice guy to get along with, too.
Wow,
it's wicked. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, that it's such an incredible experience for you to be able to experience that, where you're upfront and personal with these actors and you get to see what the industry is about. So, Dan, from there you wind up going to, was it the Grown Ups that you worked on next?
Yeah. I saw a casting call for a 70s flashback scene. I passed in my head show resume. I got a phone call from them saying I'm going to be in it. And I had to go to Boston for a dress rehearsal and get my 70s clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And what's pretty cool about that is I got paid while doing that. I got paid going
into
Boston.
Isn't that amazing?
I know.
Wow.
It is. It's amazing. That's the thing that people don't realize. And for our listeners, real quick, I'll give you the number again, 1-347-989-1473, toll-free number. You can call us. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman if you want to join us in the chat room. And it's kind of cool that I have Dan here now, because of the fact that Dan is fairly new to this. And just recently in the state of Massachusetts, the powers that be, and I will be very polite in the way I refer to them, the powers that be were thinking or trying to cut back on the film credits. What happened is during the Mitt Romney administration a few years back, he actually pushed these incentives through that gives the movie industry tax breaks when they film movies here. Well, there's this particular gentleman who's a state rep or whatever, the amico, he's like dead set against it. He's been trying to get rid of it, pushing a bill through. So yesterday they had a big hearing up in the state house trying to push it back. See, these are the stories they don't see. And again, someone like Dan would not have the opportunity to even contemplate this type of career if it wasn't for the fact that the movie industry is coming to us here. Dan had an amazing experience right here on our own block. I mean, I know for me, when I worked on the Grown Ups, we actually got to work on it for 5 weeks for the barbecue scene. And granted, everything aside was the fact that I had the opportunity to work with 3 of my children and my niece and one of our best friends. And that's something that people just don't understand. They really think that Hollywood's the one making all the money, but they don't see the fact that, perfect example, my son, who was 20 years old, college student, couldn't get a job to save his life, because that's when, people with degrees and stuff were losing their jobs. And if it hadn't been for the fact that he got called and got to work on this set for 5 weeks, he wouldn't have been able to get a job that summer. Between that and refereeing was how he was able to supplement his income. So it just goes to show how what an impact the movie industry is having in Massachusetts and why it's so important to make sure we keep it here. And I know that people might think that all the money's leaving, but it's not. I mean, the transportation people are from Massachusetts. The Teamsters 25 works a lot of it. A lot of the background people, everybody that supports the actual production, police details, firemen, everything, that all adds to it, not to mention the fact that they're leaving money here because these actors need to be fed, they need to be put in hotels, and that's all money that's being left in the state. That's why it's very important to keep the industry here and to keep it growing. And I'm glad that Dan actually had the opportunity. So, Dan, you wind up going there, you got paid to dress up in the 70s clothes, and then what happened when you showed up on the set?
I had to go there really early, and I probably had to get up at like 2 or 3 in the morning again, driving to Boston. They gave us our wardrobe. We got fitted. We put them on, and we went to the set. And funny, it's in the beginning of the movie that I'm in again. Mm-hmm. And that day that I was there on set was actually the last day they were filming. So what's pretty cool is, you know, like at the end of the credits, they always do something like fun with the cast.
Yes.
Well, they did something with us for the credits that's going to be really funny to see, and it's going to be hilarious for me to be seen. We were dressed in our 70s clothes, and we ran out to the center of the basketball court, and we did the hustle.
That's awesome.
That is cool. That is very cool.
And you know,
and that's it. That's awesome, because you know how cool it is, and I have to say, because I've recently gotten this, I actually went to see The Invention of Lying, and I didn't work on that movie, but my niece did, and I remember going to the movie premiere for Bride War, and it was kind of bittersweet to my niece, because she was in a lot of the scenes, but she didn't get seen in Bride Wars. But then when I went to see The Invention of Lying, I have to say, it was so cool that she was playing a nurse in the nursing home, and I mean, she got FaceTime, like her face is right there, and you see her as the actor walks by, and the camera's on her, and it's not one of these that if you blinked, you missed it. I mean, she was right there, and it's so cool to see that, because I know how much she loves the movie industry, how much this has been a dream of her for so long, and that really just motivated her even more to do it, and I think that's just so cool, to actually see people that, you know. Same thing with the grown-ups. I remember seeing the trailer for it, and it was kind of cool because I actually got to see one of my kids. I mean, I had to freeze it, but I know him. And it's cool to see that, and it's like, you know, everybody that's famous now, that's how they started. At one time, they were a blur in the background, or, you know, they were just some extra somewhere, or like an Irish punk in some movie. And then years later, look where they are now. So, Dan, what did... You went to the grown-ups, and then how did you wind up on Night and Day?
I can't really remember. I think it was from the agency. They had it up on the website, and I applied for it, and they gave me a call, and I was able to get onto that, surprisingly, which was really good. You know,
did you work the whole 3 days? That was your third movie. Now, that all happened in one summer, right? That was all last year.
That was all... probably 4 months, 4 months and 3 major movies. So
that's awesome.
But
that is
I was
so
only
cool.
there for 2 of the days.
Mhm.
Were you there for the third day?
Actually, I was, just because they had us in the military uniform and we kind of stuck out like sore thumbs, so they couldn't move us around. But yeah, that's right. You were there the Wednesday and the Tuesday. I have to let our listeners know this is Dan Paquette. He's 20 years old, and he is actually making a go working in the movie industry, and he's very excited to be on the show, and I'm more excited, I think, to have him because he's such an amazing young man. For our listeners, if you want to call in, the number's 1-347-989-1473, or if you want to go on the internet, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. WMN. Also, if you happen to be on the road and aren't near the internet, you can actually listen to our show on the phone, which I think is kind of cool now. Call the call-in number, and you just sit back and listen. And that way you can hear the show while you're on the road. Put it on speaker. I don't want anybody getting into an accident. And that way you'll be able to listen to the show. Mountain Man, you said we had a call.
Yes, I did say that. So let's see who this caller is. Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. Who's this?
Shelly Munchucks.
Shelly!
Oh my God. That's all I can say is, oh my God. Shelly!
Hey, girl, what's up?
Oh my God. Shelly is another one of these people that I met in like the weirdest way. We met on ourfilmspace.com. If you're interested in getting into the movie industry in the New England area, definitely a site you want to go to. It's started by Doug Kirkpatrick, an amazing person, and his awesome wife, Melinda. So what you do is ourfilmspace.com is like you put your information on and, you know, you get to kind of market yourself a little bit. But they also have casting calls and stuff. And Shelly wind up, I think you saw a picture of me. Or did I see a picture of you?
I saw you, but I thought at first maybe you were mean because the thing is, I saw you in a police's uniform, in a police officer's uniform. I was like, oh, yes, you're cool. And I was like, yeah, because I always wanted to play a police officer, and she looked real mean. And I left comments for her and such, and I was like, she did not get back to me for a while. And I guess she hadn't been on there and go, she don't like me. So that's what I thought. I was like, oh, she don't like me. So I just happened to, like, she just happened to leave a comment or something, and then we just met at an audition for one of the places where I worked on a film with. And, like, when we, like, first met, it was like, hey, what's up? Like, we've known each other.
Yeah.
And we just hit it off from there.
It was hysterical because we had been, and it's funny because I was so new to our film space. I didn't even know how the silly thing worked. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, somebody made a comment. That's what that means. So I answered it back. And then we wound up communicating back and forth. And I thought it was hysterical because my husband actually drove up with me to the audition just because it was the first time I go. And I tell everybody, if you're going to an audition and you're not familiar with where you're going, always bring a buddy. You want to be safe. Anyway, so I wound up bringing my husband with me. And as soon as I saw Shelly, of course, because I'd seen her picture, and it was so weird. We're like, Shelly! And my husband's like, so how long have you known her? Then he looks at me and goes, you just met her, didn't you? I was like, well, do you mean like know her, or physically know her?
Yeah, and that's the beginning of it all. And I was like, I just wanted to call in tonight and just say hi. And you're talking about coincidences? Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You know the audition with the fighter?
Yes.
I was there the same time because I met Mickey Ward. The same exact day you guys, I was there at the same time
that's
when he was
crazy.
There.
Crazy.
So
you were sitting down
in front of the camera?
Huh?
Like when he walked in, you were sitting in front of the camera as he was walking in?
Well, he was, like, getting ready to leave, and I was upstairs, and I was like, I don't think understood who he was, and I was like, I got to go get a snapshot with him, and I think he was with his manager, and they were going out the door, excuse me, like, I didn't pull him. I was like, Mickey, do you think I can take a picture with you? And he said, sure. So his manager took a picture of me and him, and I actually have it on Facebook. So it was, like, it was really cool, and I wish I could have got on the set of the fighter, but I was already dedicated to something, so I had to turn down stuff. So
right.
I didn't get a chance to do that because when I get started with something, and it's just a small world that you guys were there, and I didn't see you guys, and I was there at the same time, too.
It is weird. And you know what's even funnier, and I don't know if Dan knows this, because the fighter was actually filming in our neighborhood for what, Dan, close to 2 to 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah, it was right next to the big tower, right? You talk about
it
right there?
Oh, yeah. They were there for like 2 to 3 weeks. Now, for people that aren't familiar, when they have these things, the sets are closed and you have to get in there. Well, there's a drop-off point where they shuttle the extras back and forth. Well, my front door was the drop-off point for the extras. My house was like in the set, like inside the set. So here I am for 2 to 3 weeks, you know, experiencing, living on the set, literally. You be careful what you wish for, because I would say, oh, I'd love to live on the set. And I'm like, well, not that way. I meant, like, you know, making a movie. not living in it and being held hostage. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure you live down the street. No, officer, I swear, I live in the yellow house. He's like, sure you do. You know, every time I'm trying to get home. But the funniest thing was that the whole time they were filming in my friend's house, I was driving to Essex, which is almost an hour away, to be working on the grown-ups because they hadn't called me for the fighter. It was wicked funny. Then all of a sudden, we had a couple of days break on the grown-ups, and they call me like, oh, you want to work on the fighter? I'm like, heck yeah, I can just roll out of bed and walk out the street and be on the set. I'll be mad early. I can run home if I want to, thinking all my friends can come hang out in my living room in between takes. She goes, no, we're going to be filming in Arlington, and it's an overnight shoot. I went, what? Are you kidding me? It was hysterical. The whole time they filmed in Lowell, they didn't call me. They only called me when they were out and about somewhere else. That was the funniest thing about it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is so cool, though. But it was a great experience, and you're right about being in a small world. Now, Shelley, you got any advice you can give Dan? Because you're a seasoned veteran. You've been around the movie industry for so long. Dan's kind of new. He's only been in it for a little, less than a year, right, Dan?
Right.
Yeah, the thing I would personally say, since he's just starting to get into it, and everybody has their own personal preference towards union and non-union, but also for what I mostly am happy with, like I said, everybody's different. I just say, you know, what comes from my heart. And the thing is, I'm very happy doing independent films. And it's something where you can sink your teeth more into. That's what's been happening for me. And I don't want to get into my projects right now because it's his time. It's just the fact that I'm starting to get to do more that I want to do, where I just figure with the fights and the stunts, if I join the union, it just seems to me that they would want to know exactly everything I do. And I don't want anybody to dictate what I do. And it's just all these rules and everything. And I'm looking into it and I'm going, I mean, it's good. You probably, you know, they do probably take care of you and make sure you don't get hurt. They probably, you know, with all the food and everything like that. But I'm sitting here going, do I want something where if someone offers me a role in film and saying, okay, let's do it this way, and I can put in my intake for something. Where with if you're on a big action film, it's kind of like you don't always, if you're like considered somewhat not a big actor, you know, like Hollywood type, you kind of have to shut up, and you can't really give the input. And if you do give input, it might not look favorable in your favor. But it seems like working on independent films, I can actually talk to a director and to the actors, and they're on the same level as me. And I actually found a bunch of people that are just like myself. And we don't wish bad upon anybody that's in the actors union. It's just that it's just not something for us. And the way we talk and the way I write things, people are like, oh, what are you, bad-mouthing anybody that's in the union? And that's not what I'm about. I just don't decide to go ahead and do that. If you don't do that, people kind of look down upon you, and that's really not something with other people that are in the union should look at people that are non-union. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's an expression of creativity.
Well, the other thing, too, is that's very important, and I know I found that myself because, like Dan, you know, Dan, your first time out, you actually wind up being in a featured extra role where you're actually highlighted and stuff. And I know for me, because I didn't know that much, my first role was on Edge of Darkness, and I wind up actually being called what they call a specialty, which means I'm in a police uniform, and they consider that a specialty. And I didn't realize that the union, they have certain rules. So I actually got waivers for the union. So I'm eligible to join SAG. And the only reasons I've been holding back a little bit, and I know some people are like, oh, you should join already, is because you need to really have experience. Because one of the things that I've learned, give you an example, if you guys saw the movie 21 that was filmed here in Auckland, Massachusetts, there's a young man in that movie that gets a small part. He actually has a speaking part in there. And it was very quick, Dan. As a matter of fact, I think he was only like 21, literally. He wound up getting bumped up to a speaking part, and shortly after that movie wrapped, he actually got called in to audition for a major, major Hollywood role. And unfortunately, the nurse just got the better of him. He just absolutely choked. and did horrible on the audition, obviously didn't get the part and never got called back to anything. So I think the thing, too, that Shelley refers to, and I know for me, is you need to have the experience, and that's something that the independent market is going to give you, because when you first start out, it gives you the opportunity where you have speaking parts, and you get a little bit more and a little bit more smaller sets. It's less formal in some areas, so you can actually have more input from the director, from the actual screenwriter. Sometimes they're on the scene and all that, so it gives you a lot more experience. So when you are ready to make the move to go into SAG, become a union actor and maybe go to Hollywood or go to New York, which is only, you know, 4.5 hours, not even, which a lot of my friends do because they are SAG actors and they get the opportunity to where they actually go to New York and they, you know, they have auditions and they work as extras there and they've actually had speaking parts, that kind of thing. So it really gives you the opportunity to get the experience so when you do have the chance to have an audition, you don't blow it, so to speak. Unfortunately,
yeah, well,
like any other business.
There's also one more little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, I'm also very privileged to, like, also know about films from overseas, the ones, like, well, the type of films in it is probably different than what Dan's into. There are action films that are really, really unique, and they have subtitles, but they're nothing like the Hollywood ones. These are even much greater than the Hollywood action films because it's just very dynamic, and I can't even express, like, how I feel when I see them because it gets my adrenaline pumping. And it's just,
right.
I just watch totally different films, so it's like my advice might not fit Dan. Do you know what I'm saying? Mine's
right.
A whole different genre, but it's like, it's always be open-minded to new things and stuff to, if he
mm-hmm.
wants to express himself more, it'd be independent films. If he wants to do exactly what Hollywood wants him to do, then that's a different route for him. Everybody's different.
Right.
But I wish
absolutely.
Him all the best.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
Shelley,
I don't want to think of all the time.
Well, thank you for calling, and I will definitely call you now that I know that you're back and alive and doing awesome, awesome, and we're definitely going to have you back in the show because you got a
yeah,
lot
we'll,
of great
we'll
things.
Yeah, we'll catch up, yeah.
Yes, she does. Shelley's, like, got a lot of great things coming this year. So, Shelley, thank you for calling, and I will talk to you in a little bit.
Dan, add me on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Okay, you, good luck and best wishes, Dan, in anything you do, in any film or anything in your life.
Thank you, Shelley.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Have a good night.
All right. You
Ellie.
Too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
What was I going to say? I just blanked out. Oh, Mr. Mountain Man. Do we have another call? Oh, Buddy the Mystery Dog's in the house.
Buddy the Mystery Dog, huh?
Buddy, dog of mystery for our listeners. He's the blog dog. I'm actually his assistant. I write his blog for him because he's a secret agent, and he's got this cool blog. You can check them out on www.dogsworld.com. You can see Previ of Buddy's adventures with his girl Vita and fighting crime and all that cool secret agent stuff. Yes, I just said that with a straight face and I didn't laugh. There you go. That's how good of an actress I am. So, Dan, actually, do we have another call?
Nope. It's only the three of us now.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Dan, I have to ask you, so originally, are you still going to school or you were going to school for criminal justice?
I am still going to school for criminal justice, yeah.
Okay, so criminal justice is, a lot of people might say, well, criminal justice, acting, not, you know, not going hand in hand, which I disagree
right.
because most of my acting experience came from working undercover.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things is, how did you just, all of a sudden, okay, you're going to school for criminal justice. What brought up the acting?
Just, you know, the fighter coming to Lowell, that's really the reason why I actually started going into it. Because, you know, you always say, like, oh, you can't be, like, the movie star and stuff. But with the fighter coming to Lowell, that's how, mm-hmm. that's the reason why I'm able to, I've been able to do any of this.
That is so cool. I am just
so
now.
Movies coming to Massachusetts is definitely a must. And
oh, definitely.
They really shouldn't put a budget on any of the film tax.
They do. It's very important because of the fact that, like I said, it's not like, you know, someone like yourself that is still going to school, as much as you dream about being an actor, there's still certain things that are holding you here in Massachusetts, so it's not like you can just get up and go and say, all right, I'm going to go to New York or I'm going to go to California, which was the norm back in the day. And even then, it's very difficult because of the fact that there's a lot of people in California, there's a lot of people in New York, even Chicago, because Chicago's real big for that. So that the ability to be able to actually get the kind of roles you want and stuff, is there's a lot of people vying for it. Where with the acting industry in Massachusetts, it really gives you the opportunity, and like Shelley was talking about the independent market, it really gives you the opportunity to get the experience to kind of figure out what kind of actor you are. Now, Dan, when you were going to school, what were you? What was your original intention with your degree? What were you planning on doing?
Criminal justice was my original intention.
So what field were you planning on going into?
Probably straight into the police force, hopefully. You got to have, like, a backup plan because you can't really go in with a mindset of, like, oh, I'm going to make it, or you're not going to go anywhere at all with it. So I just go in with the mindset thinking, like, oh, these three films were – these are the last things that I would ever do relate to it. And, you know, if you keep that mindset, that more things just come for me, so –
That's awesome. It's funny, too, because speaking of New York, a lot of people don't realize that there's so many shows that film in New York and movies that there's a lot of the cops in New York that are actually SAG actors, and they work in a lot of projects where they do background and speaking parts and that kind of stuff, so it's not that uncommon. And now in Massachusetts, I find it funny that I see a lot of the people that I work with or know that were cops working in movies like The Departed, Mystic River. What was the other one? I saw some on Shutter Island, Edge of Darkness. So these are some of these guys in the background, and a couple of the women too are actual cops that are doing it as well, and they got a backup plan. And that's very smart, Dan. You've got to have a backup plan. I tell this to my kids all the time. It doesn't matter what talents or ability God gave you. Make sure you always have a backup plan and always have something that you can rely on in case that happens. Now, I got to ask you, Dan, you had a medical issue you were dealing with, your shoulder. What happened, and how is it that, I mean, four surgeries, that's huge.
Yeah. Well, I went to high school, and then, you know, I had the plan of playing football and track in the spring, or maybe baseball. But on my first year of high school, I ended up dislocating my shoulder like 4 or 6 times between football and track that year. And I wasn't smart enough to get it checked out right away, but when I got and checked it out, I had a torn labrum in my shoulder.
Wow.
And so I went this whole time with a torn labrum in my arm. It was so I needed to have surgery on that. And then 6 months later, I had to have surgery on it again because in physical therapy, something went wrong and my labrum tore in a different area. And my bicep tendon tore too. So 6 months after the first surgery, I had to go and have another one. And then I went through physical therapy all over again, and I was leaving the place with only like one spot of like irritation in my shoulder. And the day I left physical therapy and on, every day it just got worse and worse. And at one point, I woke up and I couldn't lift my arm up at all.
Oh my goodness, I had to go. Horrible.
Yeah, I don't know why I couldn't just lift it at all. It was very scary at first. I went to see my doctor that did the first 2 surgeries, and he didn't know what was wrong with it. So I had to go see another doctor, and this doctor, he found out what was wrong with it, but he said, in his like 30-year career, this is the second time he's ever seen that. What was wrong with me? And what was wrong is the bicep tendon in my shoulder was like placed weirdly where I couldn't lift my arm up, and it was just causing pain where it was located. So I had both doctors do the third surgery, and they took the bicep tendon and they removed it from the bone. And
wow.
So now I have only one bicep tendon connected to my bone on my right shoulder. Another one's just hanging loose. And if I had, like, really puny arms, you would be able to see the bicep tendon down near my elbow area because that's where it went after the surgery.
Right.
And then, so I spent 3 years trying to come back from the those three surgeries in under a year, because I had the third surgery on August, a year right after my first one. And then, so, I thought I was pretty much back, and one day I was playing basketball, and someone landed on my shoulder.
Right.
And the first surgery where the labrum was torn the first time, that got re-torn. So I had to go and get that redone 6 months ago.
Wow.
And so now I'm recovering from that.
Now, Dan, I have to ask you, and this is just a testament to your strength and your spirit as a human being and just your fortitude. You're 20 years old. You've been dealing with this for almost 5 years, yet you made it through high school, graduated high school, are in college. You helped your brother out a lot with the paper business, and on top of that, you participated and worked in 3 movies this past summer. How did you manage to do all of that while still going through the, because, I mean, I know I've worked in the medical field, and I know what it's like, what you described to me. I know the pain that's involved. I know the frustration, everything that you're going through, because I've seen it in some of the patients that I work with. How did you manage to keep your spirit up and just to keep going and be so productive and do all the things that you're doing?
Well, the thing is, my spirit wasn't always up. I was at the point where, you know, I didn't like anything at all. I was just so antisocial and, you know, going through all the surgeries. I actually gained a lot of weight.
Well, it's understandable because you can't really work out, and I can understand why you really don't want to deal with anybody with all this pain. So what turned it around for you?
I don't know. I probably would have to say my brother-in-law and the situation that he's dealing with, it's what he's dealing with it's really not treatable. So seeing him not being able to do anything about his injury, I felt the motivation of being able to work hard and try to come back from my injuries, because my injuries weren't like his. But,
So what you did is you were able...
The funny things about the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's funny what you're saying in a good way, because what I'm saying is here you are, and it's very common for us to get like that. I know for me it happens where we wind up sick or something's going wrong or doesn't go our way, so we kind of get into that little bubble where it's the me bubble that I call it. Yet you were able to step outside that, see someone else that was going through something more challenging than you, and you actually turned it around to be a good thing. Now, how were you able to apply that to be able to get out of that and to do more things and to get over and say, you know, I can deal with this?
I don't know. It's just like a click of like positivity came around saying like, I won't let this beat me. You know, I'm only 17 years old when I was thinking this, because that's when I finally started working on everything. But, I mean, I've always been a fighter with everything, because I've always had, like, knee problems when I was young, too, and I, like, had a, like, minor back problem, too, but, I've been a fighter a lot, but the funny thing is with the shoulder thing is I still went through high school with perfect attendance all 4 years.
I remembered someone mentioned, not you, I forget where, this is one of those weird things that I cannot remember. I remember that coming up in conversation somehow. I don't remember if it was when we were on the set, not about the injury, but about your attendance.
Oh, yeah, I think we did talk about that,
Did we talk about it? Because it just blew my mind. I'm like, are you kidding me? These kids are like, oh, my God.
I remember telling you, like, I got dismissed one day. I had surgery. I got out at 3 in the morning, and then I was in school the very next day.
What? Are you kidding me? That's what it was. That's what blew my mind. I actually said, I remember telling everybody, you believe what this kid did? They're looking at him going, are you crazy? Like, they just couldn't believe that. You are, like my kids would say, you're gangster, man. You're like G up in there, because it's just like unbelievable. Here you are, you had surgery, you got out, and you still went to school because that attendance was so important to you. And, I mean, that, talk about a backup plan. I know for me, when I worked as a supervisor, and if I'm hiring people and I see that, are you kidding me? Look, I don't care if you don't have all the experience that we need for the job. Here you have a kid that has gone through these major surgeries, and I have to say kid, because 17,
I mean, I have my son who's 17, and, you know, some days he's like, I don't want to go to school. Get your butt up. You go through all these major surgeries, and you still manage to keep that perfect attendance. That is incredible. That is such a testament to your spirit. And I honestly
another thing is this competitiveness with my brother, because my older brother, he went to high school, and he did the whole perfect attendance. I'm like, I'm not having three surgeries being excused for not having the perfect attendance just like you.
Oh, my goodness. See, that I can relate to, because my kids are wicked competitive. I know the big thing they were competitive with was they had to, or the world would come to an end. They had to get their driver's permit on their 16th birthday. Like, no flunking the test, no screwing up that day. And I remember one of them, I won't embarrass them, one of the ones that actually didn't pass it the first time out. Oh, man, it was like you would have thought the Pope had died, because it was like, oh, you're the only one kind of thing. So I can understand that. But that's actually a good thing. Now, let me ask you about your family. You come from how many brothers and sisters?
I have three brothers and one sister.
Now, do you find them to be a support system for you? Because with that competitiveness, do you find that they don't let you stay in that little bubble all the time?
Oh, yeah, they definitely help me out a lot all the time. Whether it's something bad or something good, they're supportive with anything, no matter what.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did you actually tell your family, look, I want to be an actor, I'm going to try this, or is it just something that happened and then they kind of found out later?
I think we all just found out that, we all found out, like, hey, the fire is being filmed here and they have an audition.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go down and do it? And no one wanted to do it. No one could do it that day that it came, but I was able to, so I guess I was just the lucky one of the bunch.
Wow.
The lucky one or the competitive one? You're like, I'm going. I don't care if my shoulder's falling off. I'm showing up. All beat up.
I
they
won.
Can put me as one of the... I love it. One for Dan, zero for the brothers and the sister. That is so cool. Now, how do you find your family now that you're actually doing it? Because you're an actor now, whether you want to admit it or not. You're actually in it. How do they feel about it?
Well, you know, it's just like with your friends and everything, you know, they find out that you're in the movie, and then they're like, oh, watch out, Mr. Big Time Actor's coming by and everything. And I know that we went to the Olive Garden, and they made, like, a big deal of it, and the waiter ended up getting my first autograph.
Wow.
But
that is...
he probably took the neck, and I wrote it on and just wiped his mouth on it or something and probably threw it away. But
right.
I mean, you know, they were supportive about it.
That's
just
good.
You know, with two of the movies coming out this summer, it's going to be all brought up again as a big deal, you know?
Yep.
I try not to look at it as such a big deal. I mean, it's really cool, but then again, I really don't want to think much about it because I don't want to think like, oh, I'm going to go over a lot of places with it. I'm just going to see where I go with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's an awesome thing to do. That is a great thing to do. Now, I don't know what happened here, but I think we lost our other host here. I think we lost Charlie for a few minutes. Dan, so I'm going to pick up the show here.
No problem.
Because it's like, okay, how do I go about this one now? Because I don't know where exactly her line of questioning was going, but I know it had to do with family and stuff, so I want to try to stay on that as much as I can, and that's awesome. That is really awesome that you have a family that will help to support you and stuff.
Yes.
So you've got a couple of movies that you're looking into.
Funny thing is, I try to sign up, like, for the independent movies and stuff, like Susie said you should.
Mm-hmm.
But with, it's kind of hard during the school year to be able to do that.
Right.
Go and do the work and then do school at the same time. But, during the summer, I plan on, trying to get a lot more auditions for stuff. And I also plan on taking, some acting lessons. Because I know
right.
you need to have some, those really help. I mean, anything that helps with the resume is good.
Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. And real quick, Brandon says hello. I just wanted to get that out there because he's in our chat room. And so I just wanted to let you know that he says hello.
Hello, Brandon.
But
another small coincidence with that is my friend Brandon's brother. He was actually one of my punk buddies in the fighter.
Really? Wow,
yeah,
that is awesome. Yeah, he was saying something in our chat room about it. So, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is going on here?
Maybe your phone died or something. No
yeah,
battery.
That's what I'm thinking, and I seen her try and I seen her try to come in again, and I hope she can get in with that number that she called. I recognized it, so. But anyhow, so. Anyways, going on with the show here, and so what else inspired you to go into this film and stuff?
Well, when there's always a certain place that someone goes to where you feel like you kind of like you feel like you belong there, kind of like you feel like you're meant to be there. And I know with the film I did with Charlie, Night and Day. I know getting up at like 2 in the morning to drive to Worcester for an hour and a half and staying there until midnight and driving back is a lot, but you know what? It seemed like it was enjoyable to me.
Mm.
And being on the set, it felt like, you know, that I enjoyed being there. It's something that I would like to do, and hopefully I would be able to do it in the future because it was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, and that's awesome, getting to meet somebody who's practically your next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting concept there.
Especially with, like she was saying, there's 500 people there, and they all came from, like, Maine and Rhode Island and Connecticut, and two of us were down the street from each other.
Wow. That is great. That is awesome. Well, I'm so sorry, Dan. I'm here, but I was letting her take most of the show. I was just here helping her run the switchboard and everything, and I'm just trying to see what's going on here. And
it's no problem. Technical difficulties and everything, you know.
Yeah, we all have technical difficulties with one thing or
Nothing
another.
Nothing's perfect.
Exactly. So. Anyhow, I don't know what to say, but, I'm sorry, I've just been listening and amazed by your story and everything, so it just is, like, wow. I mean, because now that you've talked about the fighter, makes me now want to go and actually find the movie and watch the movie, because
the weird thing about that is even though that was the first movie filmed, that movie isn't supposed to come out until 2011.
Really?
Which is a really long time for some reason, while the other ones were filmed last winter and fall, and both of them are coming out this summer, I think in the same week, I think, too.
Right. Real, that's good. Hold on one second. Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Guess what? I got bounced again.
You're getting bounced all the time there, girl.
Swear to goodness. What is it with... I'm going to have to file a complaint with, like, the electric company because they just went flick, flick. Everything went out, and we had to reset everything. I was like, are you... kidding me. This is not cool.
Your phone went out or the power?
The power.
Oh, wow. What is
going on?
I don't even have a problem over here.
No. Dan, you can relate to this. It's like there's a certain park in our neighborhood. There's like there's a section of about 5 houses that we flicker every so often, and everything will just, and then 2 seconds later, I'm like, oh, cool. Now everything's off. So we have to run around and, reset all the.
you look down the street, your neighbors have power and you don't.
Yeah. And you're like, what the heck? And then all of a sudden, it's like, it's just that flicker. Once you see the flicker, you're like, oh, no, not now. I'm going to have to get, a generator or something. Like, I'm back in the day.
Well,
anyway.
We got you.
Thank you so much. Dan, I'm, in mid-sentence going, what happened? Where'd he go?
Because I couldn't even top your questions because I didn't know exactly where you were headed with your line of questioning there.
I lost everything. I'm like, what the heck? Oh, anyway, back on the chat room, I finally got it back up. There's some cool stuff going on. I said, you should tell Dan that Brandon said hi. So you should know who that is. And he also says, Dan is a man. He's a hard worker and a good friend. Have him talk his motivation about in the gym, because me and him both go to the gym together and go to the gym for hours and hours every day. Sorry, that came out all messed up. Have him talk about work. Brandon, I hear you, honey. It's something in the air or in the water. I don't know. So, Dan, tell us about this amazing workout routine and how you have the motivation to go and go there every day and have a commitment.
Well, with the injury, like I was saying, I gained a lot of weight from it, not being able to do anything. And then I found out that my friend Brandon was going to the gym as well. We paired up going to the gym together. He's a baseball pitcher for Bunker Hill, and he needed to lose weight too.
Stop. I have to interrupt. Woo-hoo, Bunker Hill, that's my alma mater. I actually graduated from Bunker Hill. Yeah, 19. Yeah, that class. Anyway, that's awesome. So you guys you found out he was going to the gym, and you guys wind up hooking up. So, was that something that helped you, and how did you stay motivated to keep it?
Oh, that definitely helps. I mean, I feel as though you always need to have a partner while doing something. It just makes it that much easier. Because when you have someone who goes to the gym and is expecting you to be there, then you're like, oh, I got to go then. Because if you're going by yourself, you're like, it can wait tomorrow. But when you go with someone, you got to go. But we both went to the gym. It's been like a year and a half we've gone. And I've lost like 70 pounds or so.
That is phenomenal.
Wow.
And then, I don't know if he doesn't mind, but I know he's lost a total of 55 to 60 pounds, which has helped his pitching in baseball a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, it's funny because one of the things that I like, and I don't use the term lose, I call the term adjust, because I thought you looked great when I met you. It's not like, you're going to be there like, oh, my goodness, he's huge, because you weren't. I mean, yeah, you were bigger, but you look solid. You look like you were in shape. But one of the things that is amazing is that you guys are doing it the right way, because you're working out and you're making yourself stronger. You're turning, whatever had turned into fat because you couldn't work out back into muscle. And that just is great. And so you guys have been able to – now, how does that make your shoulder feel? How have you been feeling physically with going to the gym and keeping that going?
The shoulder, it's still a daily problem, I just try to fight through it. I mean, I really can't do anything with the weights. I haven't done anything with weights in such a long time. I just do cardio, and, as long as people say cardio doesn't work, but if you're doing it right, it does work because it's helped me a lot.
Need to bring your volume up, Charlie.
You gonna boss me around now too? Yes. Okay. No, the thing is too, Dan, you're absolutely right when people say that they think cardio doesn't work, but it does. And that's where you need to educate yourself, and I like the fact you understand that, because the fact that cardio is very good for a lot of things. I mean, weightlifting is great, but if that's all you're doing is creating muscle. Yeah, you're making yourself stronger, great. But guess what? You're not creating flexibility. You're not working on your heart and your lungs, which are very important. And trust me, you can have a 300-pound musclehead come at me. I will outrun him if he doesn't do cardio. He might get me right off the bat if he grabs me, but trust me, if I am 3 steps ahead of him, I will outrun him. That's very
all right, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. I know when I was a drill instructor in the academy, you could see that when we see huge guys, but they were useless when it came to, like, getting down on the floor to do CPR or during the swimming or, you know, other, like, the cardiovascular. When they had a run, they would just drop like bricks because they just didn't do any of that other stuff. Now, it's funny, too, because Brandon also says that he felt that if it wasn't for you, he wouldn't have the motivation to go as much. And he has helped you go every day and push him to the limit. So that's a real testament to
Yeah, I did push him, man. If he didn't show up, I would make him run like another 5 minutes, no doubt.
I love it. See, Dan, I think you're going definitely, if your backup plan is being a cop, I can see you as a drill instructor and then getting them to run around and be motivated. It wouldn't be that with drill instructor Parkett over there. You'd be like, what? But the thing is now, again, this is something that, and I understand, you know, it's been very difficult for you because of the surgery. You're still in pain, but you still found a way around it. Because I know there's a lot of people that would say, well, I can't work out. That's it. I'm not going to the gym. I can't do this. I can't do that. So what you've done is you've turned it around into the things that you can do. Now, how did you figure out what was going to work for you, and how have you adjusted to be able to still maintain working out even though you have that injury?
I just try to do whatever that I could do there. If it was just walking, you know, I feel as well, as long as you just show up, you're making a difference right away.
That is so true.
And then the things that helped me be able to go is, two of the biggest things I think that helped me go is, you know, I look at what I had for my injury, and like I said, and then I think about, like, all other people around the world who's going through a lot more worse, and like I try to call myself a baby through what I'm going through, because people are going through a lot more worse things than what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know, like, if you look at people and like they're already highly successful or they have like the perfect body, I feel as though that's like the wrong person to be looking at to try to motivate you. I feel like you should be trying to look for someone who's just like you and he's trying to get there, or someone who has the same story as you and they got there, as a way to motivate you.
That is an excellent, excellent point, because it's funny. We've actually discussed this on our show in past segments where women get caught up on the movie images and the magazines, and they think they have to be 60 pounds, 110 pounds, which is totally ridiculous. And, I mean, I've actually heard someone say this, and it just blew my mind. It wasn't anybody I knew. It was one of these random conversations you catch as you're walking down somewhere. She actually said to whoever she was talking to, she said, well, I would have to lose 30 pounds before I could go to the gym.
Wow.
I'm like, what? I mean, in my mind, I'm like, are you serious? That's why you go to the gym. But
those are the people that just go to the gym to look good at the gym, and they don't want to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that I find, that you have people, and this is funny, I used to belong to one particular gym that I actually canceled my membership because I got the fact every time I wanted to work out, there were people there that were trying to socialize, like, you know, like to meet girls and meet guys. I'm like, look, that's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to work out. Or if you want to talk and flirt and knock yourself out, just go do it at the juice bar and get off the machine that I'm waiting for, kind of thing. So it's really cool do that. And, you know, it's good. Keep it real, people. I love my son's always saying, real talk, Mom, real talk. And, Dan, that's what you're doing. You're keeping it real, because you're not – I'm not going to have a poster of Angelina Jolie on my ceiling and go, oh, that's who I – because it's not going to happen.
No.
Short of – I mean, it's impossible. You could have – I could have $200,000 in plastic surgery. I'm not going to look like the woman because I'm not built that way. That's not what I'm about. And there's this huge misconception that people think that you have to be real thin to be healthy, and you're not. Again, back to when I was a drill instructor, one of the things I found out that
the polar effect with, like I said, the big muscle heads that couldn't run to save their lives, and you'd have these people that were quote unquote within weight, but you know the weight guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible shape, because they weren't working out, they were starving themselves. We call them the thinny fats, because they were these thin people that were in horrendous shape, because they just, it wasn't healthy. And you're absolutely right, where you need to realize, this is my body, I'm going to do the best I can with it to keep myself healthy, and to be able to find someone like Brandon that you guys can gauge off each other. And it's kind of cool, actually. Brandon said that his older brother was in the movie The Fighter with you as well. You guys were kind of like in the same scene.
That was another small coincidence, because I didn't know it was his brother until the set, because we were both talking about him at the same time.
Crazy. So, Dan, now I'm getting the feeling that you're just like a karma thing, that everybody just coincidence after coincidence that are awesome that wind up following you around. That is wicked cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a bigger, weirder coincidence than you and I running into each other, that we happen to be in the same scene in this hour and a half, hour and 45 minute long movie with your friend's brother. Wow, that is weird. That is wicked cool. So, Dan,
yeah.
I have to ask you, with everything that you've gone through in such a short life, because you're only 20 years old, and, you know, you've gone through this experience that has consumed, like you said, a quarter of your life, and you've managed to adjust your thinking to make it work for you as far as being motivated. You're being a great motivator to the people around you, as Brendan is attesting to the fact that, you know, you're the reason he stays motivated, and it's helped him in his dream of, you know, playing baseball.
Well, I hope I am.
Well, see, that's the funny thing. A lot of times you don't realize you're doing it, but you actually are. Dan, how do you see yourself maybe doing this more, being more of a, you know, be able to share that to motivate more people, and to where do you see yourself going from here on out with your acting and what you've gone through and how to share that with people?
Well, with the acting stuff, I just hope that it keeps on going. I feel like, you know, good things happen to good people at some point in their life. There's always, I mean, no matter how bad you go through it, like, no matter how far down you fall the ladder, you're gonna be able to climb right back up on it. And I feel as though, you know, does anyone who ever, like, has an issue, I hope that they're capable of being able to come to me and be able to not be afraid to talk about anything with me if they're having any issues, because I feel like I like helping people out a lot with what their issues are and everything.
You know, it's really cool that you say that, because one of the things I've noticed, I know some people that express that. They're like, yeah, I want to help people out. But one of the things is they wind up getting caught in the cycle, and they become more of an enabler than a help, you know what I mean? Because they're more about, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. But you're like,
they're all like one-sided kind of.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, you know what, Dan, it's okay if you don't want to work out. We understand. But the reality is that it's like, okay, that's all well and good, but if you don't get your butt in the gym, I'll just make you run an extra 5-10 minutes when you get here kind of thing.
Because it's going to be so much more rewarding after being instead of saying I didn't do it, you know.
Absolutely. I love this little Brandon little bird I have in my chat room, because he says, Dan tells me all the time that making it in the acting business is almost impossible when you're just a normal person like him. And I tell him that good things happen to good people, and Dan is a good person. He just needs to be confident in yourself. And I have to totally agree with Brandon, because if you sit down and watch movies, most of them are normal people. If you look at it, I mean, I know I brought Angelina Jolie, but that's like 1%. If you look at the people like that are out there that are average looking, Adam Sandler, very average looking. Kevin James, average looking guy. Chris Rock, average looking person. John Candy, average looking person. And I can go on and on and on about all these people that are.
It's just the personality, I think.
Absolutely. And trust me, you've got the personality. And I know you don't realize it because you're so young. I'm going to go into mother mode. Keep putting my mom hat on. You're so young, young man. You do not see the full potential. You have the whole package deal. You've got the face. You've got the personality. You definitely got the work ethic. You touch you on that. And I have the feeling that once you decide to do something, you're not really going to sway from that path. So your friend Brandon is absolutely 100% correct, right on the mark, that you just have to believe in yourself, and when you do, everybody else will as well, because I'm telling you, you definitely have a package deal, and I definitely see you going places as far as your acting career and any other endeavors that you happen to choose in life. So I can believe we've been talking so long, even with the fact that I got booted out. It's 8:45. We've got less than 15 minutes left. So, Dan, just before I let you go, and thank you so much for being with us, is there anybody you'd like to say hey to, shout out, anything out there that you want to share with the listeners?
Say hi to my family and my five closest friends, Brandon, Scott, A-Rod, Eric, and Nick. And hopefully I'm going to continue the acting stuff in the summer with classes and independent stuff. And also, I also just passed in my resume for Pirates of the Caribbean 4. So hopefully they'll be calling me in for an audition for that. I'll be looking forward to that in the summer.
You know, and that's part of having the confidence in yourself. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I actually just came across the announcement for that. That's what you need to do. I mean, the worst that can happen is they say no, and then you go, it's not no, it's just not yet. And then you move on and you send those auditions. You know, the way I look at it, and I've discussed this with other people, you send the paperwork in and you call until they either get a restraining order against you or they call you in and give you the job. It's a win either way.
So one quick thing I could say about that is I did that with the movie with Justin Timberlake about Facebook.
Right.
They were looking for hundreds of people that were just like me, and I thought that I would definitely be called for it, but I never did. Mm-hmm. So I never think like that again.
Oh, but you know what? It doesn't matter. You have to think that way, because it does. You never know when. And you know what? There's always a reason why you don't get called. I know there was one particular movie that I personally was very upset that I didn't get called for, because I thought I was just perfect for it. But you know what? It's funny, months later I found out that some of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes wasn't really anything that I would have wanted to be associated with in hindsight. So it was interesting. And later on, you're going to find out that there was a particular reason why you didn't get called for that project. But like I said, as long as you keep it positive and you brainwave it, the parts will come. They will continue to come, because like I said, you have the package deal. You have the work ethic. And just from meeting Brandon here online in the chat room, you seem to have a really great support system.
He's my guy I go to for any help.
That's so cool. That is awesome. So, Dan, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. I'm so glad.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. And one of the things I have to remind you, because I tell all my guests this, I want you to send me a picture of yourself, 5x7 or 8x10, and if you could please autograph it, because I put up the pictures of my guests on our Wall of Fame. And I would definitely like to get your autograph now, before you're so big that I try to call you and you're like, who? Do I know this chick? Wait, hold on. And I can't get past your personal assistant, because I do. I have a feeling. And, you know, it's funny. Even your friend says, I think that Dan is going to be the next Kevin James. And having had the pleasure of actually meeting Kevin James, your personality does remind me of him, because he's a very sweet, shy kind of person. And you wouldn't think it when you see him in a movie, but he really is very low-key and very shy, but he's very talented. His work ethic is ridiculous, like yours. And I agree.
He reminds me of Chris Farley, which is my acting hero.
There you go. But I think you have more going for you because of your work ethic and just where your mind is at. I think you're light years ahead of his mentality where it was, and I definitely see you going places. So make sure I will send you my address, so you can send me that, and we will put you up on our Wall of Fame. Very excited to have you up there, and that way I can say I knew you when back in the day, and I'll have proof as opposed to not know Dan. Yeah, right, sure. You mean like you walk down the street and you happen to see him, or, you know, this is cool. So, Dan, thank you very much again. Thank you to your friends who joined us in the chat room, and definitely looking forward to having you back.
Thank you.
All right, now have a good night.
Yeah. So goodbye.
That was so cool. I am, like, so excited that we finally were able to get him on the show.
That is awesome. That is very, very awesome.
So
what is going...
I have to share something, though. because, you know, we've got less than 10 minutes and we're going to be wrapping up the show pretty soon. But I have to share a story with you because I thought it was wicked cool. And it's funny because we were talking about Avatar, and one of the things that I liked about Avatar was that the main character that was in a wheelchair, he was kicking some serious butt even when he wasn't in his avatar.
Exactly, and that's the one thing that I had looked at too. I'm like, wait a minute, I can really relate to him. And that's the one character that I looked at the most. And there was one particular point in that movie where he had one look or one posture, whatever it was, that I'm like, wow, you could look right into his eyes or something and just see yourself in that person.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because I actually thought of you when I was watching that movie. But the story I want to share with you, it's kind of cool because, you know, we've had all the snow in the last few weeks. And I remember my daughter, Jessie, she actually, she's so sweet. She's never negative. She's very, you know, very upbeat. Even when she gets handed, and I'll use the word, she gets handed poop, she makes manure out of it. You know, she grows something out of it. She tries to turn it positive. So she actually has to walk. And she's got a bit of a walk from where she lives to her school. And it was snowing. And it's kind of slushy and things. So she put this little comment on Facebook. She goes, oh, guess what? I get to walk in the snow. Yay! And it was funny because I made a comment to her. I said, you know what? There's a lot of people that can't would love to do that. I said, aren't you lucky that you can go out and walk in the snow? And I actually commented without, you know, mentioning you in particular. I said, I have a friend of mine that's in a wheelchair, and whenever it's snowing or raining, he can't really go out because it's not feasible for him to go out there. It's not safe. And I said to her, and I'm sure my friend would love to be able to go out and walk in the snow or do these things in the snow. I said, so while you're walking in this, why don't you think about him and, you know, take him with you and take a walk for him. And it was so funny because she hit me. She's like, oh, I wasn't being negative when I said that. I said, no, I know you weren't.
I saw that. I was like laughing.
You had to know it was you we were talking about.
Yeah, I did, and I was like, oh, no, here we go, here comes the gossip here.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool because she said, but you know what, I absolutely will keep them in mind. And it was so funny because later on she put a comment about, she's like, God, it's so awesome. And, you know, she mentioned about how she just looked at this walk in a totally different way because she wasn't taking it for her, she was kind of taking it for you, and it just made her appreciate that more. And I know for me, the reason I mentioned it to her, because I know I mentioned it to you years ago when I was doing a road race, and that's why I think Dan is such an amazing young man to remember to be able to turn it around and say, okay, you know what, there's things I can't do, but there's things that I can do. And I remember that I was doing that. I was in this road race, and I am like sitting there, well, not sitting there, I'm running up this hill going, why am I here? Why am I running? The guy from Kenya won like 10 minutes ago, and I'm still on mile 2. And,
wow.
I mean, there was just nothing logical in my mind about why I was doing this. And, you know, feeling sorry, my bubble pity party for Juan going, my foot hurts. I want to sit down and have the lady in the van pick me up. And that's when I hit this corner, and there's this gentleman in a wheelchair clapping for everybody that was going by. And he had this sign that said, don't quit. And
yep.
I swear to goodness, it was like someone kicked me in my butt and said, how dare you complain about the fact that your feet hurt? Because this man was, you know, he was paraplegic, and he would love to be able to feel, you know, his feet hurting. Or he would love to be able to say, you know, the guy from Kenya won already 10 minutes ago, but here I am in this road race. And it really humbled me. It made me realize what a big baby I was being about the whole thing, how lucky I was that I was able to do that. So it was kind of like the rest of the road race to me. It was like I wasn't running for me. I was running for him. And I actually was trying to find him afterwards because there's just so many people. Because I wanted to thank him because obviously he doesn't understand what he did for me that day. He just made me realize how lucky I was, and he motivated me in a way that no one else would have been able to. And that's an amazing thing that he's doing, and I was just kind of a little bit sad that he wasn't able to know that, that how he was motivating not just me, but a lot of the runners on that course actually talked about it afterwards. And we as people never know when we're being watched without realizing that we're being watched, and we're motivating people or we're tearing them down. Our actions can go either way. We could either be a really good example and do something really positive for somebody's life, or we could make it really horrible and actually mess up people's lives without even realizing it. So we have to be really careful about what we're doing and always be in a attitude of gratitude, like the guy from The Secret says. It's just a cool thing to do. So I just wanted to share that with you because I thought it was a really cool story. And Jessie's such an amazing young woman that every time she gets the opportunity, she's able to turn it around and make it positive in her life. And I think that is so cool.
That is awesome. And I was like, wow. And you got to say thank you to that gentleman or whoever the person was just now, even though they may not be able to listen to the show or whatever, but I bet you 10 to 1, he just heard you say thank you.
I hope so. That one of my pet peeves is that we as a society really stigmatize people with handicaps, or really talk down to them, and that really just burns my bubble because it just, it gets me angry. It's like, okay, you know what? And you know, because when you were in the hospital and I had that stupid cast on and I had to live in your world for a few weeks and I was miserable the whole time. There was nothing sugar sweet about my attitude because I was like, ah! And then all of a sudden, I see you laid out on that bed. I'm going, oh, geez, you know, I'm going to be better in a few weeks. And Chris is dealing with this whole life with such a great attitude that I really felt bad for myself. Like, wow, you're such a big baby about it. But it really enlightened me to the fact that we as society can be so dumb with people with handicaps. Like, we actually talk to them like they're stupid. They're not stupid. They might have a handicap in their legs or their arms, or they might be blind, or they might be deaf, or they might be mute, or they might be, you know, mentally challenged or have some other form of disabilities, but that doesn't mean you have the right to treat them like they're less human or have less value in society, because that's not the case. And I have you to thank for that too, because you've actually educated me so much on what it's like to live with a handicap. And again, it's fact, I love the fact that you don't say I'm crippled or I'm disabled. No, you are a person that happens to have a disability, and I just think wording it that way is so huge. It is. It's very huge because it really enlightens people to the fact that that's not who you are. It's just something that you happen to have to deal with, and you do.
That's
so
right.
I'm very excited for that you've actually taught me that. I cannot believe we just flew through these 2 hours. It just always seems like, man, what are we going to fill those 2 hours with? And then it's just like we have these amazing guests like Dan and all the other amazing guests. Oh, I have to share something real quick. Jenna Dunn. You remember Jenna?
Yep.
Well, she happens to actually have – she sent me a couple of songs that she just recorded, and they're absolutely amazing. I'm going to upload them so we can share them on the show. Trying to get her. She's got a couple of really cool things. She was actually in Atlanta last week in Georgia working on some cool stuff that she's going to be sharing with us later. So I'm really excited for her. Some big things coming up there. So really excited about all the stuff that we've got coming on. Just to let our listeners know, next week we will be reporting live from sunny Orlando, Florida. It'll be the beginning of the GNEC. Actually, it's part of the GNEC, but it's actually Suffolk University Baseball. Woohoo! Go Mutts! They're actually going to be in Florida for their first tournament of the season. They will be down there. Their first game will be Friday the 13th. Actually, we will hit the road, my husband and I, because we're nuts, has decided we're going to do a road trip. Woohoo! Everybody in the car going on a road trip. It's actually just going to be him and me, and we decided to drive down.
Wow. I've got 90 seconds, hon.
All right. We decided we're going to drive down, so we're going to be reporting live starting on Wednesday. I will be blogging about it. We'll get you more information. But we're actually going to have a show probably Monday or Tuesday. We'll let you know once we decide, so we can let you know what's coming on. So, Mountain Man, give him the tagline.
Don't let anyone ever, ever take your dreams away.
Absolutely. And just remember, nothing is impossible, Dwelling Heart. Love you all. Thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to sharing the next 15 days with you when we're down in Orlando, keeping you abreast of what's going on in the world of baseball. Mountain Man, thank you so much for joining me and being with us. And why don't you pick a song and see us out?
I'm going to pick The Fighter.
Woohoo! Awesome.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
All right, Charlie, I'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.